I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Think for a minute about what you received, what you've been given by your father. Everybody in the room here had one. Of that we can be certain. I was looking around my cottage this morning. We were staying over at Rangeland. I was looking around to see if there was something in that cottage that my father had given me, which is, and what was interesting was that I couldn't find anything. And as I was looking, I was like, no, that's from Earl's family. No, that's from Earl's family. No, that's from Earl's family. Oh, no, that bowl, that's from Earl's family. Oh, the clock. Fascinating. When I had originally written this sermon, I had something in mind from my house, which I didn't have time to pick up. So even in that, it was fascinating. There really wasn't anything there, unless you count the meat thermometer. I should have brought the meat thermometer. That tells you something. I don't have many things that my father has given me. My father doesn't have many things. He didn't come from that kind of sentimental family. I was able to eke out of him one painting that's about the size of an 8.5 by 11 sheet. And it's a kind of dark painting. It's not even framed. And it was a painting that was done by his father during the Depression. He had lost his job, and he was painting on the streets. And this is one of the few things that's left, just this little old painting. My father never speaks hardly ever about his family of origin. What I have learned, I have kind of gouged out of him. It's fascinating, the things that you are given by your parents. And I have this little painting. And you know, it's interesting, as a pastor, I see a lot of not so pleasant things. One thing I see is that when somebody dies, when a parent dies or a father dies, I see how families interact and how they're often torn apart at the death of a parent. Not just because they're sad, but because one person thinks they deserve that something and someone else gets it instead. You ever seen that? It's called the inheritance. And somebody thinks they should get this and somebody else thinks they should get that, but they got this over here instead. And it's a time for ugly emotions to surface. Jealousy, anger, greed. At the death of a parent, particularly a father, old pains come to the surface. There are sibling rivalries that pop up, old slights that come back. Over little bits of wood, little bits of metal and cloth, and paper with presidential faces on them. These things can really divide a family. And yet, all of that struggle, all of that animosity that can happen can really keep people from the best inheritance of all. And that is the sense of family and the sense of love for one another. My grandfather's painting is a cool little thing, but if my sister wanted it, I'd give it to her. Because it's just the thing. The thing that what my father has given me are invisible things. They're not tangible things. And my parents have been very clear, you know, don't expect an inheritance. You know, my father, he's Mr. Preparing. So he is preparing. He's very well prepared. But my mother's my mother's having a good time. And we tell her, go for it. Her inheritance is now. You know, in sharing and being able to be present and do things for her grandkids and this and that. But what I was thinking about then, you know, what have I inherited from my dad? Besides my good teeth and my bony feet, you know, what have I inherited? I have inherited, you know, I was really thinking about this. One thing I've inherited from my dad is a sense of loyalty, and particularly a sense of loyalty to family, which would take some time to unpack considering my parents are divorced. But he has an incredible sense of loyalty. And even though he's family of origin, has, gosh knows whatever happened to it, and our family didn't do very terribly well. His sense of family, importance of family, is really, really important to him, and I know that that's something I've inherited. His love for the water, his love for boating, his love for actually being outdoors, even though he was not like a hiker or that kind of person, he does like to be outside rather than inside. I guess I learned that from him, certainly not from my mom. And congeniality. I had one of those fathers that when you would go into a grocery store, he would talk to everybody. And I remember being a teenager and being just so mortified by that. Does anybody else ever have that? I was so embarrassed. And I would even call, I remember distinctly calling him to task, saying, "Dad, you don't know these people." And he'd look at me just to say, "Well, so what? How am I going to get to know him if I don't talk to him?" And I have become my father in this sense. I talk to people in stores all the time. And I kind of make it my goal at Walmart or whatever to make sure that the clerk's having a good time. And that's something that my dad gave me. And none of those things are made out of wood or paper or metal. But those are definitely an inheritance. He also gave me two sisters, whom I adore. And we wouldn't be here if not for him. So there are some important things. There are probably also some things I inherited from my father, or that you inherited from your father that you wish you hadn't. You know, like medical histories. You know, things that you need to keep a watch on. Whether it's heart attacks or strokes or cancer. Alcohol addiction. Or maybe fiery tempers or other kinds of things. You inherit the whole bag. The good and the bad. Our parents passed along much of who they were to us, for better or for worse. Because they weren't perfect. And I think everybody in this room has lived long enough that now you know that you aren't either. None of us are. So good Lord, help us to forgive our fathers, even as our children may one day need to forgive us. They say it's love that makes the world around. It's also forgiveness that makes the world around. Thinking about what we have inherited, what are we passing on? I have a little prayer here, courtesy of Mitchell Bass. This is his prayer adapted for me, for his children. He says, "I pray that I might pass along more good than ill, more wisdom than foolishness, more faith than fear, more love than neglect, more pride than judgment, more understanding than impatience. And I pray that when my kids see a painting or a book or our cottage on the lake, something that they someday inherit, that they may have more good memories than bad. But I really work to pass on higher things to them, not just wood and paper and glass, but to pass along those things that matter more than money and more than material things. Things like faith and hope. Love. And those of you who have watched Earl and I, that is not always easy with two boys to pass along those things. But think for a minute, this is a question for you. What are the most meaningful possessions that have been passed down to you? Material possessions, perhaps, but also spiritual ones or emotional ones, things that you can't touch. The tangibles and intangibles. Think for a minute, what has been passed along to you? It's a small group today, so that can be either really good or really bad. But does anything come to mind that you want to just shout out? Things that have been passed down to you, tangible or intangible?
Genealogy.
Yeah, sense of history.
Stories.
I just finished a Brad Metzler book called The Book of Lies. And the kicker at the end of it is that they're all chasing after this thing that they think It's called the Book of Lies or the Book of Truth. It's this thing that Cain had after he slew Abel that God gave him, and he's been wandering around. It's been passed down through thousands of years. And at the end, I'll give away the end because you probably won't read it, what they discover is what was that thing that was passed down for generations, and it was stories. That was the answer. It wasn't immortality. It wasn't the secret to the universe. It was a picture of a man with a child on his lap, and it was about tell your story. But that's what we have to offer to the next generation. So it's funny you should pick that. Stories. Anything else? Yeah, sure.
Kindness.
Kindness. You did well to inherit kindness.
Jewelry.
A woman's best friend. Absolutely. And it's portable. And it almost always fits. Anything else?
Gentleness.
Gentleness. These are good things. These are things to lay hold of. Things to remember. Things to celebrate. Particularly when you kind of then, you know, make that next turn and you say, okay, what possessions, tangible and intangible, are you passing along to the next generation? Maybe your children, maybe your grandchildren, maybe your nieces and nephews, whatever that next generation is. What is it that you are passing along? It's a big question. But it's an important one. So often we're so busy just kind of managing day to day, we don't stop and think of the big questions. What is it, tangible and intangible? What possessions would you pass along to the next generation? In what ways are you investing your life, your time, your energy? How is it that you're investing yourself? And what is it that you're passing along? Thinking about that and mulling about that, I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts that might help you with that. The parable that Michelle read is unique to Luke. Remember, there are several parables, stories, if you will, that only Luke has. This is the parable of the friend at midnight, it's called. And that is unique to Luke. The prodigal son is unique to Luke. The Good Samaritan is unique to Luke. And I hope you catch in there, there's some similarities between those great, great stories. Before this little parable of the friend at midnight is the Lord's Prayer. Lord, how do you pray? And in that explanation, if you will, which we call the Lord's Prayer, it talks about, you see that Jesus has this very close and prayerful relationship with his own Father. And then after the parable, there's this exhortation to persevere in prayer, to stay connected to your Father, to God, who will treat you like a good Father. And then in the middle is this great little parable, this very short parable. When it comes to passing along a legacy, sometimes we barely know where to start. So I'm just going to pull from this parable of the friend at midnight, sandwiched between these how we talk to God, our Father, pulling from that four principles, four traits that God possesses that I think we would do well to emulate and to pass on to the next generation. If you don't know what you want to pass on, you don't know what you are passing on, I would lift these up as things that God has that he has given to us to share and to pass along. The first one's right at the start of the parable. Suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And then the one inside says, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. The first principle, you're going to laugh coming out of this, is be honorable. He says, don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children are in bed with me. I can't get up and give you anything. You know, this neighbor is tired. We are all tired. But even though he's tired, he does the right thing. You see, all the bread is cooked in a communal kitchen, communal oven in the building. Everybody knows in the village who has the fresh bread. That's why the guy goes to this neighbor. He knows he's got bread. And I admire this neighbor because he doesn't try to lie his way out of it. He's really honest. I'm in bed. I'm settled down. And we all can feel that kind of line in us when our kids ask for one more thing. When someone in our lives asks us to do one more thing. And yet he gets up and he does what I would call the right thing. It's not easy to be honorable. There are times when we have to behave first and hope the feelings will follow. You do the thing you know is the right thing, and then hopefully that feeling will follow. If you always wait till you feel like doing something, you guys have been around the block enough. If you wait till you feel like doing something, it isn't going to get done. Always. Or even often. Be honorable. Do the right thing when it's time to do the right thing. And if you can do that and pass that on to the next generation, even when it's not easy, even when it's not convenient, even if it might not always be for the right reasons, but you choose to do the right thing, be honorable. There's a lot that comes under honor. I mean, when you correct the clerk who gives you too much change back and your children see it, and you give them back that extra money they gave you, that's being honorable. There's a lot that comes under being honorable. It's about keeping promises. You know. Think of it. Just muse your way through honor, and you'll get it. The second one is be accessible. Because the parable goes on. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. At the end of a long day, how available are you to those who need you? Now, I'm all for healthy boundaries. You all know that. But this principle is about being present to your own life. Be accessible. When someone knocks, are you going to open the door? When someone asks, are you going to respond? Being present to our own lives means being in that moment. And most of us here don't have young children, although Michelle does, but we have grandchildren, we have nieces and nephews, we have people in our lives that we are still passing on to. We do still have a next generation. And being present to them, I think, is really important. It seems most of the stories you think of are when children are little and their time, attention span is just really short, and you either grab it or you lose it. But what would it mean for us in our own lives now, thinking that our children are adults, or our grandchildren are almost adults, to be accessible? It's kind of fun that Hilda's here today. One of the things I love about Hilda is she still writes to her grandchildren. That, for me, that has always made an impression on me. And she uses stamps, you know, like she writes, like with paper and a pen. And in that sense, she's saying, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here for you. And that always touches me, that willingness to be available. Be honorable. Be accessible. And pass on to your next generation the importance of being accessible and being available. The third one is be dependable. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. Be dependable. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. One of the things I love in dealing with parents, statistics have shown time and time again that the most successful parenting technique, I should have asked you that. What do you think is the most successful parenting technique? To be your own host. Is it to be a drill sergeant? Is it to be somebody's best buddy? Earl, what is the most successful parenting technique?
Consistency.
Be consistent. Statistics show it doesn't matter whether you are laissez-faire or whether you're a drill sergeant. Isn't that crazy? Statistics show in terms of healthy children, and by this they partly judge who's not in jail, that your yes is yes, that your no is no, that it is the consistent parent that has the healthiest child. So wherever it is on that continuum. And isn't that true? Because that's what we crave from God, isn't it? That God is the same yesterday, and today, and tomorrow. That's what we crave. That God is dependable. That God will be who he says he is. That God will keep his promises. And, well, sometimes we look and say, oh, God doesn't change. Deep down, we are delighted that God doesn't change. That there's something we can depend on. And that's what our children and the other people in our lives. I mean, you know, I'm sure you have somebody in your life who you don't know when you ask them a question or when you see them where they're going to be and what they're going to say. And there's great power in them keeping us all jumping, but it's also nerve-wracking. Be dependable. Matter of fact, this is kind of a joke. Just yesterday, we were making lunch and Sam left out, I was making a salad and he was making a sandwich, so he left out the mayonnaise and the corned beef and the cheese. He left all the perishables out on the couch and we're sitting down and we're eating out on the porch and I said, Sam, you left the mayonnaise and the cold cuts out on the table. And he said, well, will you put them away for me? Now, I was standing at the moment, so I said, all right, I'm standing here. I'll put them away for you just this once. And he said, say no. And I said, what? He said, say no. And I was not picking it up. He said, no, tell me that I have to get up and do this. I'm not making this up. He said, be consistent. I said, okay. Would you please come up and do this because I am not going to do it for you. He said, thanks, Mom. I did not make this up. Be consistent. Your yes be yes and your no be no and stand by. That is an incredible legacy that we can pass on to the next generation, and it is in short supply. Be dependable. Be consistent. So we have, and this is not rocket science, by the way. Be honorable, be accessible, be dependable. The very last one I want to offer to you today in terms of what you might be passing on to the next generation, no matter where you are in your life, is to be merciful. It says this, which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? In other words, be merciful. What is mercy? Easy definition for mercy. Mercy is when we don't get what we do deserve. Mercy. Mercy is more than kindness. Mercy is remembering that I'm a sinner too, and sometimes a second chance is the right thing to give somebody. Mercy. And hold your temper while you're giving mercy, otherwise it doesn't go across so terribly well. Now, I wasn't with Earl and Sam the other night, so I don't know how the exact exchange went, but this was my perception. Earl and Sam and Ben were down in Farmington for a baseball game. They got all the way back up to Carabasset Valley before Sam realized that he had left his backpack down at Hippic Field. That's a long way from McDonald's, Hippic Fields across from McDonald's and Farmington back up to Carabasset Valley. And I happened to be calling home at the time to check in, and I caught Ben on the phone. This is how I knew the story. And I said, what happens? Well, Earl and Dad and Sam are driving back to get the backpack. And I didn't ask any more details, and I don't know about what happened, but for me, that was about mercy. Because Sam never forgets anything. Sam's not one of those kids. And they just turned right around the car, and they went back down, and hopefully they had some more bonding time, and they came back up again. Used up a lot of gas. Mercy. More than kindness. Remember that you're a sinner too, and sometimes somebody else just needs a second chance. So did you receive any of these things when you were growing up? Did you receive honor? Was your father or your parent, were they accessible? Were they dependable? Were they merciful? Can you pass those things on? We're doing Bible Adventure Days in the next couple of days, and those are the four things that I'm kind of going to hold up to our teachers. To be honorable. To be accessible. To be dependable. To be merciful. Those are incredibly important ingredients when you're working with young children, or when you're working with your spouse, or when you're working with your grandchildren. It doesn't really matter now, does it? It's how we live and how we live well. Would you please join me in prayer? God of love, you give us so much. You pass along so many blessings, we can't count them all. Thank you for our parents, imperfect as they are. Thank you for those who have been like parents to us. And help us to daily pass along to the next generation, whoever that is. What matters most, those intangibles that make all the difference in our lives. And if you would join me in, there's a printed prayer in your bulletin. We don't often use these, but right underneath our prayers for the world, a prayer for the fathers of the world, if you would join me.